Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
I remember this place. Before I begin, I just want to say a word of thank you to all who helped make it possible for me to be away from the PPRC, to the members of this congregation, but especially to the staff and to my colleagues in ministry. Thank you. You'll never know how much it meant for me and our family to be able to have that time. Thank you for all the sacrifices, the things I know about, but especially the things that I don't. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In God's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. So that where I am, there you may be also. Picture with me, if you will, that first day of school. For some of us, of course, we need only think back to the last week when we gathered our school supplies, stuffed our backpack, and headed into that long day's journey into night that we call the school year. For others of us, of course, it's been a few years. But I'd imagine most of us can still somewhere deep down remember the mixed feelings that went into that first day of school. On the one hand, there's the excitement, the pure joy of getting to learn, the chance to be around peers after having spent so much time with our families, plus all the opportunities that are still ahead, swimming or cross country or football or field hockey or the musical or band or orchestra or robotics or the Green Thumb Club or a little bit of all. But if we're honest, there's also, of course, a little trepidation. The anxiety that comes with starting anything new, especially that first day of school. Will my teacher like me? Will I like my teacher? Will I be able to do the work? Will I remember to do the work? What will I wear? And of course, that question which sits down somewhere deep for all of us, if not expressed in this way, it is often there. Will I be able to find my people? Will I be able to find my people? You know, that group that knows me and kind of likes me and cares about me and notices if I'm not there. Will I be able to find my people? In other words, is there a place for me? Not just a desk or a seat, but a place. Now, in some ways, there is no more acute moment for feeling that than in that pilgrimage of peril and possibility, that midday gauntlet that we force every young person to run, that known simply as lunchtime. You know, when you grab that tray of that which they call food and you turn and you look out into the cafeteria and you wonder, where do I go from here? Now, maybe some of us have kind of repressed those memories. We've tried to work it out through years of therapy, but if you're willing to remember for just a moment the awkwardness of trying to hold that tray, looking out and not being quite sure where to go, knowing that a bad decision in that moment is bound to lead us astray, possibly for the whole year. Praying that we just might find someone to sit with. Now, maybe we were one of the lucky ones and someone saw us and said, "Hey, you with the Superman t-shirt, come over and sit with me." But of course, not all of us are that lucky. Not always. No, few things in life are as challenging as standing there, knowing that you have to pick somewhere, but not being quite sure where to go. Is there a place for me? Now, we'd love to say, of course, that once we experience it in school, it's past and we never have to face that again in life, but our nose might just start to grow a little longer. After all, life is filled with cafeterias, so to speak. And the truth is, we don't always know how to find our place. Maybe some of us are there this morning, feeling like we're holding our tray, looking around and not being quite sure where to go. The young mother starting a new job. The widow starting a new fall. The retiree starting in a new community, the couple starting in a new city, the child starting in a new school, the visitor trying out a new church. Now, it may be hard for some of us to remember, some of us old timers, what that was like. But there is nothing quite as daunting as stepping into a new church for the first time. These days, it takes a tremendous act of courage to even darken the doors. Remember everything we hear about the church? Everything we hear day by day, moment by moment in the news is not so great about churches. We don't really live up to that Christian ideal of loving God and loving our neighbor too often. When we hear about churches in the news, all we hear is about the way that we exclude, the way that we push out our LGBTQ siblings, the way that we prop up too often those systems of racial oppression or injustice, where too often we deny science. So it does take an act of courage to at least take a first step into church. So if you are a visitor this morning, let me just pause and say this. Welcome. I am so glad that you are here. And my prayer is that you found a place this morning. I would imagine, just like the first day of school, those who are visiting church this morning might have come with some mixed feelings. Maybe even those who have been here a while have come with some mixed feelings. On the one hand, of course, there's the excitement, the hope of what it's going to be like, all the opportunities that lie ahead, the new groups, the new volunteer opportunities, what we might do in the year ahead. But there's also, if we're honest, a little trepidation. Will I like the preacher? Will the preacher like me? Yes. Will they call me out in the middle of the service? Will it be too liberal or too conservative or too churchy? But deep down, it's the same question that haunts us that we ask in school. Will I be able to find my people? Now, my prayer is that everyone who walks through these doors or tunes into our live stream or listens over the phone hears a message without equivocation, unconditional, that says there is a place for you. So if you've never heard it, let me just remind you again, there is a place for you. But the truth is, a sermon can only get us so far down that road. At God's house, there may be many rooms, but if we never hold the door open for anybody else to come in, how will they know? And the truth is, sometimes even the most well-meaning communities fall short. A colleague of mine recently told me a story about a woman who worked across the street from his church and who'd been telling him for years that she would love to come to one of his services. And so finally, after years and years of saying this, she took a Sunday off and she got up early and she dressed in her Sunday best and she made it to church, no small feat. Getting there early and with plenty of seats to choose from, she found her way to a pew in the back and began to prepare her heart and mind for the worship of God. And then a gentleman approached her and said, "You're sitting in my pew." She never came back. Who could blame her? See, even churches, these places that are meant to be the living, breathing embodiment of what it means when Jesus says, in God's house there are many rooms, even we Christians get it wrong sometimes. Even some of us, the most well-meaning among us, fall short. See, we confuse God's house with a building. We think of bricks and mortar, that somehow God is confined to this Indiana limestone. But the truth is, when Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you," it has nothing to do with a building. It is a place, but not a building. It's the same place where God exists, where Christ becomes real in that place, that is that space between you and me. If you're looking for the place, your place in this church, in this life, in this world, it is in that space between you and me. It is in community. It is in relationship. That is who we are as a church. We are people who are looking one another in the eye and saying, "I know you're imperfect, but so am I. So let's figure this out together." That's where God exists. That's where Christ is real, in this relationship, in this church. Only it can be so easy to forget. This summer, when I was away, I worshiped at a little church in Hamilton, New York. Fear not. I listened to every sermon that was preached, and I am so grateful to my colleagues in ministry for the wonderful, thoughtful, grace-filled sermons that they gave over this summer. In many ways, this summer was only possible through their leadership. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But for the first time in my adult life, week after week, I sat in church, most of the time with my family, sometimes just me. Not as a preacher. Not as a pastor. But as just a person in the pew, listening for how God was speaking. And I remembered why I love this. I want to say a special thank you to the Reverend Bryant Clark and to the people of Park United Methodist Church for the way that they welcomed me into their church family for the summer. Never told me I was sitting in the wrong pew, but gave me the space to hear the call again. See, after 18 years of ministry, believe it or not, it can be easy to just get caught in the weeds. Serving a church of 2,300 people with 4,600 opinions, I say lovingly, it can be easy to get caught up in what you haven't done and what you've missed and what you should have done differently or better, and to forget why you do it. And pretty soon you can start to just tell other people that they are children of God, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that there is a place for them, and forget that the same is true for you. For me, this summer offered me a chance to remember why I started doing this in the first place. Because for me, the church has been the place that has offered me what is good in my life. My sense of calling, my sense of identity, my sense of justice, my sense of humor, such as it is, my sense of hope. I didn't learn these things despite being in the church. I learned these things because of them. And I got into ministry so that maybe someday one other person could say that. So that maybe there was another person out there who could look at the church and say, there is something in this for me. I came into the church because from the time I was a little kid, the church with all its imperfections embraced me with all my imperfections. And together we found our way to be a little more perfect. And so friends, after 10 years together and a summer apart, I say this, for those places where I have fallen short, I ask forgiveness. For those places where you might have fallen short, I offer forgiveness. For those successes we have found together, I celebrate. And for those places that God is still calling us to go that we have no idea about yet, I give thanks that God is already there. I come to the end, and you are still with me. There is so much to look forward to together as a church. This fall, in just a few weeks, we will finish construction on our outreach center, or maybe, as Pat suggested a couple of weeks ago, we should call it a community center so that we center the community. But whatever we call it, our prayer is that it might be a house for God that is an outpost for the kingdom of God, that it might be a place not where nobody is left holding their tray, proverbial or not. And in this place, you will find your place first, and the tray will be brought to you. It should be a place of relationship, of community, of commitment from all of us. Our prayer is that when it is finished, we will be able to come together, and our plan right now is to gather on the Sunday before Thanksgiving and dedicate it together. Mark your calendars. May this be a homecoming Sunday of sorts. So if you've been watching on the live stream, thinking about how you might come and join us, if we've never seen your face or if we've seen it quite a bit, we'd love to have you there. Make no mistake, we will still live stream the event, but how nice might it be to gather together in this place? Plus, there's no time to be in upstate New York quite like pre-winter. So come and join us. Gather for that moment. Make it an occasion so that we might truly celebrate together. But the truth is, that will only be the beginning. We will need each of us coming together, finding our place together in that space, finding a way to serve. Maybe we want to serve a meal, or maybe we want to fold some clothing, or maybe we want to help in the clinic, or maybe we want to find something else that nobody's even thought of to help out with in that outreach center, that community center, that center for God's love. Or maybe that's not where you want to go this fall. The theme for this fall is finding our place, and I know that there is a place for you. So maybe this is the fall where you begin to think about how you might take that next step in your faith journey. Maybe you want to join a class meeting, become a part of the discipleship project, join a small group. Or maybe you just want to go to a class and learn a little bit something more about our faith. Or maybe you want to volunteer to be a greeter or an usher or a Sunday school teacher or to help out with the youth group. Or maybe all you want to do is to be a person who looks around on Sunday morning and makes sure that no one comes through that door without hearing at least once, "Come and sit with me." There is a place for you. The point is, friends, each and every one of us have been given gifts, and by God's grace, a place to use them. And the good news is that unlike the school cafeteria, there's always a place for you. Which, if we do it right, means that none of us, that nobody, will be left holding their tray. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.